Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is Value Side for Thursday, May 19th. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, a Russian triumph. America seems destined to underestimate Russia. It was 65 years ago when Russia first surprised the United States. We had just emerged from World War II a dozen years before, and here in this country, it was a time of unrivaled prosperity, a time with mom and pop and all the kids, when America was second to none. After all, it was America that won the war, and that's exactly how we felt. And then it happened. Russia, that faraway place, so beaten down by the war, sent a satellite directly over America. How could that be? America was preeminent in all science and technology. We had the finest scientists, quite a few who were German as it turned out, the best research laboratories, and the wealth to put it all together. And yet here Russia. Russia was seemingly none of those advantages, had beaten us into space. As a young boy at the time, I still to this day remember the impact that this event had on the American psyche. People rushing out into the yards to watch it go overhead, just a small dot in the evening sky, but many were genuinely frightened, afraid that a bomb or other device might rain down on them. And although the true technology behind all this was really primitive, it marked an epic change in our history, as the Cold War became absolutely frigid. Years have passed. There are fewer of us who remember that Russian triumph, but I remember those days when I watched this week as Russia again triumphed, on the battlefield and in the boardroom. This was the week that Mariupol fell, the last major strategic goal of Russia's initial game plan to intervene in Ukraine. An important seaport, Mariupol was also the base of some of Ukraine's fiercest soldiers, the Azov Battalion, and although the battle was long and bloody, in the end, it was Russia who was victorious. But Russia's battles were not just in Ukraine. They extended to the international capitals of commerce and banking. The first shots in this battle were fired by the United States, as we slapped severe sanctions on Russia, and prevented Russia from using the most widely used method of international financial transactions, the SWIFT system. Russia, which incidentally is the world's third largest oil producer, behind only the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, Russia then responded to those sanctions by requiring payment for their oil in Russian rubles. And one by one, Russia has seen the European energy companies and utilities agree to meet Russian requirements. Most have opened accounts now with Gazprom Bank, the giant financial agent for the Russian oil company. Gazprom Bank accepts payment in euros and then immediately converts those euros into rubles, thus pleasing both parties. Last night, when the European Union once again asked for additional sanctions against Russia, they failed. As most utilities and energy companies, and also Hungary, would not go along. Now, capping off this incredible week for the Russians, came word last night that their economy grew by 3.2% in the first quarter of this year, the second fastest growth in the G20. The G20 is, of course, the largest economies in the world. If what we're seeing currently is a proxy war in Ukraine between Russia and the United States, as President Biden has implied, then it seems, so far at least, the momentum is clearly on Moscow's side. It reminds me of a time, many, many years ago, when a small silver sphere forever etched its memory in the American mind. Well, market action around the world this morning is negative, as once again we see our own futures index here in the U.S., pointing towards a lower opening. The notable exception currently is the Russian Federation, which market is up for the day.
However, this recent market swoon has dropped every major country index into the red for the past 12-month performance, and that includes the Russian market. So the question for investors and speculators alike is just how long will this continue? And as of the moment, there appears to be little relief in sight. Markets from Asia to Europe continue this downward trajectory, with American markets slated to open shortly, also pointing to lower prices ahead. Now, in overnight economic news, Japan, for the 9th month in a row, announced that they had a negative balance of trade, meaning that Japan, the nation that once led the world in exports, Japan, is currently importing more than it exports. Here in the U.S., we'll get the latest unemployment numbers, readings on both initial and continuing claims for unemployment insurance today. Wall Street's expecting to see little change here, and perhaps that's a blessing. Initial claims expected to be right around 200,000. Also up today will be a whole host of reports from the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Branch as they survey business conditions here in the Mid-Atlantic. And then the report that has the potential to have some real impact. Existing home sales up later this morning, and if that rather tepid change in new home sales had such an outsized impact on markets yesterday, look out for this report on existing home sales. Analysts are looking for a drop of as much as 2.5% in existing home sales, this on top of last month's drop at about the same level. Now, in earnings this morning, early indications from two more retailers. Kohl's department store looks to be joining the rest of the group with lower results, while the only one to buck the trend so far appears to be membership club store BJ's, with a higher futures price so far this morning. And then later this afternoon, we'll get a whole group of West Coast companies reporting. Leading off will be Applied Materials, then Palo Alto Networks, and discounter Ross Stores. And that's the value side for this Thursday, May 19. For all of our podcasts and blog posts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.